why we're here today, is to look at him and the glory of the Father that comes through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been serving Jesus for quite some time here in the Chinese Baptist Church of West Los Angeles. And our overall arching church has diligently sought to glorify God. Up until today, or actually we started with a Thursday night baptism a little while ago, the Chinese side would do all the baptisms. But as we are growing in our maturity, in our spirituality, for the first time in decades since our church has been around, the English congregation will do their own Sunday service baptism. And so today we'll go ahead and do that. So please keep it in prayer throughout this service. I'm now going to invite Hansen up, and Hansen will give his testimony. Normally I would start into my sermon, but today we're going to go ahead and have our brother start with his testimony that will give testimony to what Christ has done in his life. And so I'll turn it over to him now. Let's give God a hand for what he's doing in Hansen's life.
Hi, can I start with a word of prayer?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'd like to start with a word of prayer. So please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity of rebirth, thank you for just blessing me with the gift of new life. And thank you for just bringing, gathering everyone here today to witness a new me. So thank you again, Lord. And I just praise that I will speak, everything that I speak will be the truth and will be glorifying to you, God. So thank you again, and I pray all these in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So hello, I'm Hansen. And so first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for being here and allowing me to share this story with you and how I came to know God. Unfortunately, my parents weren't able to come today, but I'd just like to thank everyone here for just driving all the way out here, and it means a lot to me, and I'm really humbled that you would just take your time to hear what I have to say and celebrate the beginning of a new life. So when I first heard that I have to write a testimony, I panicked. I'm notoriously terrible at explaining and articulating things, and I was worried about so many things that I wouldn't have much to say and that it would be incoherent and messy, that my testimony would come across as insincere because I'm not used to really expressing myself, that it wouldn't be moving or compelling because I've never really been broken, or so I thought. I've always lived a relatively easy life and in a pretty well-off household, raised by two loving and supportive parents, but the past few months have taught me just how broken I truly am and how much I desperately need God. I may call this testimony mine, but it's not really about me. It's about how God reached out to me so that I could come to know him, and it's about what he's done for me and for all of us. So I'll begin the story from when I was in first grade. I went to a Catholic school and was baptized there. I was only there for a year before my parents pulled me out, and that was pretty much the end of my exposure to Christ. And throughout middle school and high school, I identified myself mainly as a-religious. I had no idea whether or not a creator existed, and even if one had, I couldn't bring myself to believe he was anything more than an indifferent God. Frankly, I thought doing anything religious was a waste of time. Years of being dragged to temple by my parents left me disillusioned, and by the time I was in high school, I wanted absolutely nothing to do with organized religion. I had no intention of going to temple, church, or any place of worship because I thought my time could be better spent doing something actually fun or productive. And my education solidified my unbelief. The idea of the world being formed in 7 days was incompatible with what I had been taught in school. And while the story of Adam and Eve as the original man and woman seemed to contradict theories of evolution, I didn't want to participate in organized religion, and I thought science and logic gave me every reason not to believe. I couldn't understand why going to church was so important to some of my friends. When I heard stories of a roommate praying at 2 a.m, or of a Christian friend using PE as an opportunity to evangelize his fellow classmates, I dismissed them as religious fanatics. Sometimes people would visit campus to preach and evangelize, and I thought it was ridiculous that anyone would be willing to go so far to spend their time spreading some silly message trying to get me to repent for something I didn't think I need to. And so that was how I saw things for the first 20 years of my life. I was secular by every definition and saw myself living that way for the rest of my life. Then came college. In hindsight, my years as a college student have probably been the most difficult years of my life yet. I went through many struggles in college, with making friends being the biggest one of all. I went to community college with friends that I made in high school, and because of that, I rarely sought to meet new people. And even with the friends I did have, there were times when I felt inexplicably lonely and empty inside. And at the same time, I was frustrated and distraught because I didn't know how to express these feelings to my friends. And at the same time, I didn't think my friends or parents would have understood because I didn't know if I even knew how to convey these feelings to them either. So in the end, I didn't enjoy my first 2 years at community college, but I shrugged it off because I knew I'd be transferring to another college in a couple of years. So 2 years go by, and I came to UCLA as an eager transfer student hoping to start anew, and I was excited. New opportunities abounded, and I was ready to make new friends and really start my college career. So I went to a bunch of club meetings during my first week of school and signed up for everything I could. And my first few weeks of college were busy with info sessions, applications, club meetings. But weeks went by, and I still hadn't met anyone close to me. And I didn't really talk to anyone in my classes, and I wasn't familiar with most of my floormates. So everyone I had met was someone I had quickly talked to or greet for no more than a couple of minutes. And the loneliness that I felt during my time in community college was still there when I came to UCLA, but it was worse. For one, I could no longer use the size of my school as an excuse. There are almost 30,000 other undergraduates, but I was too pathetic to build a close friendship with even one. And what made me feel even worse was being surrounded by so many clusters of friends who were close to each other and had what I so dearly wanted, intimacy and friendship. So every day as I walked from my dorms to class, I would just see circles of friends walking together, dining together, and laughing together. And every day was a reminder of how lonely I was, and how I felt so incredibly small, unhappy, and inadequate. So fast forward to this July. I was subletting an apartment from a high school friend who also happened to know Michael. That's Jimmy over there. Michael invited me along to join him for Friday night fellowship one day. And because I was curious and I had nothing better to do, I decided to go. So I went to Friday night fellowship, and when it was time for Bible study, I remember feeling extremely awkward and uncomfortable during worship. So I sat there wondering why I had impulsively decided to come in the first place, wishing I were in my apartment instead. When we moved on to prayer, I asked Michael about the gospel. And Michael, along with the other guys in my prayer group, took the time to explain what the gospel was. And afterwards, I was asked if I wanted to accept Christ in my life. And I said yes. But I said yes, not because I understood the gospel. I still had barely an idea what it meant at that point, or because I was immediately touched by what Christ did for us, but because I was afraid of saying no. I was afraid of being seen as an unrepentant sinner, and I was afraid of being looked on by people I barely even knew, because I've always hated the idea of being rejected. So 2 weeks later, I went to Sunday service for the first time, not because my heart had opened up its door for Christ, but because I had promised that I would come, and I didn't want to come across as a liar. So during service, I kept stealing glances and looking around to see what everyone else was doing, and I once again felt anxious and out of place. But something touched me that day. A feeling of peace swept over me during worship, and I felt at ease during worship. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, I think it was the first time I could feel the presence of God's love through the body of Christ. Being in a room filled with people full of love for God and for Christ, singing their hearts out in praise and seeking to learn more about him in the message, and faithfully doing so every week was what brought me that peace and warm, fuzzy feeling that I felt during my first Sunday here. I continued to go to Friday night fellowship and Sunday service during the next couple of weeks, and at this point, my motives were still insincere. I hadn't grasped the gravity of Christ, what Christ did for us, but I continued to go anyways because I thought the people at church were nice and I felt welcome there. I had outwardly professed Christ though, so I was encouraged to read the word and incorporate prayers into my life. And I did all of that because I wanted to do what a Christian was supposed to do and because I had said that I had become one, so I wanted something to show for it. And it felt strange reading a book I thought was nothing more than a work of fiction for the longest time. I would constantly stumble for words in prayer because at first it felt like I was just whispering to air, giving thanks for things I had never felt grateful for before, and praying to someone I couldn't even see and had never talked to, and asking to be changed, to be made better, and to be forgiven. And it felt strange and admittedly a bit silly, but I continued to do these things because that was what I thought I meant to follow Christ. A couple of weeks later, after I first came here, David talked to me about getting baptized, and I panicked. I hadn't been here for more than a couple of weeks, and I still barely knew anyone, and I still felt uncertain about my faith. The baptism was scheduled to happen later that month, but I declined because I didn't feel ready for it. And the idea of giving a testimony, though, it still remained on my mind, and I started to look back and reflect on what had brought me here. I went home later that week, and while being driven back home with my mom, I started to think about my parents and everything they have done for me, and I started to think about how I treated them as their son. So as a son, I can't even count the number of times I've failed my parents, how many times I've disappointed them, and how hard I've made it for them to love me, because I would make it the same mistakes over and over and over, and would never show any signs of remorse for what I did. How I would constantly reject and dismiss what they said when all they wanted was what they thought was best for me. How I never seemed to show any love or even appreciate the fact that they worked so hard just to put a roof over our heads and put food on the table. And then I got so bad at one point that I think they had every right to financially cut me off. But they never did. They continued to show their love and support for me unconditionally, requiring nothing of me. When I started college, they paid for everything, no questions asked. They would willingly spend an extra hour or so a day just to drive me back and forth to school because I didn't know how to drive and they didn't want me to take the bus. And it wasn't until later on in college that I really began to understand how much my parents had really done. And thinking back on this, on how my parents still loved me despite how I failed as a son, it all started to click. I finally understood the message of the gospel and what it was that God did for us and what Christ did for us. That even though we turned our back on him, and that we alone were responsible for causing the rift between ourselves and God, God still loved us the same. And that despite continuing to fail time and time again, he chose to bless us when we deserve to be condemned. And out of his infinite love, his unending grace and mercy, he carried out a plan for our salvation by sending his one and only son to come down to earth and be with us, to teach us and to guide us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Jesus Christ, who himself was full of love, came down here to fulfill God's promises. He, who was fully man and fully God, lived a perfect life free of sin, and because of that, he had every right to go back up and be with God. But instead of doing that, he chose to go up on the cross, paying the price that we couldn't pay, because that was what he had to do so that we could be saved. He was brought down to live and to die for us so that our sins could be washed away and so that we would no longer have this irreconcilable relationship with God. And all of this was done because God loved us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He made us, he loved us first, and he watched us reject him, but he chose to love us anyway and continue to do everything in his power to save us from destroying ourselves. That was how great his love was. He did all this to save us from sin, and all we need to do is accept the gift of faith." And I think that's the beauty of the gospel, that all we're asked to do is accept Christ into our hearts and to love him and believe that his works alone allow us to return to the presence of God. That was what overwhelmed me that day and made me realize how great the extent of God's love was and is. So for the longest time, I've been struggling to identify what was missing in my life and my relationship with my friends and family. I had trouble trusting even those who I considered my closest friends and family, and I kept so many things to myself. But coming to Christ has made me realize that it was love that was missing ingredient in my life. It was my lack of love in my relationships that made me feel empty inside, and it was God's love that has given me hope that everything will be okay because he is sovereign over everything. So I'm so grateful that God came to me when I didn't even realize that I needed him, when I was unable to see how broken and desperate I was. I also want to thank everyone here. I know my original reasons for coming back to church every week, week after week, weren't exactly Christ-centered at first. But I came back because I felt at peace here and that I could finally have my voice heard and because I felt welcomed here. I came back because you all love God, and that love was what drew me closer to this body of Christ and to God himself. So I want to thank you, and because without all the support and encouragement, I think without all the weekly hellos and prayers during fellowship, I'm not sure I would be here right now. God led me here and blessed me with knowing all of you, and I know he is working great things in my life, and I'm excited for what's in store. One of the greatest things about Christ is that he loved us and wanted to be our friend before we even knew him. and I want to be his friend too. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. So now, I profess that I trust Jesus Christ as my friend and my Lord and my Savior. And the Lord commands us to be baptized, so I choose to be baptized as my first sign of obedience.
Praise God.